Well, I'm grateful to Caroline Lewis, Luther Seminary professor, for reminding me this week about something from many of our childhoods. Well, the childhoods of people in my generation, more specifically. We are Gen Xers. So maybe those of you who are parents of Gen Xers watched it with us, or maybe teenagers, once it takes off on TikTok soon, you'll start learning important things from them too. I'm talking about Schoolhouse Rock. Schoolhouse Rock were short educational films that aired in between cartoons on Saturday morning. They tackled topics from science, economics, history, mathematics, civics, and grammar, using songs and cartoon characters that clearly we are still talking about today. It's where a lot of us learned about a conjunction function and how a bill becomes a law. Look at the heads nodding, I love it. But a favorite lesson that's applicable today was on interjections. So I actually found the clip of this particular video on YouTube, but unfortunately, due to copyright laws, we can't show it today. So the next best thing is, you're going to do it with me. Oh yeah, we're gonna reenact it. I might regret this decision, but we're gonna give it a shot, a very small portion of it. So Becky, I didn't warn you of this, but Becky and I did a very short little trial run earlier. Would you help me in giving the example of how this is gonna go? Okay, so the first part is mine, the second part with the exclamation point. These are gonna be your parts. You ready, Becky? Here's how it'll go. Interjections. Show excitement. Or emotion. Okay, that's good. That's a good practice. We're getting ready for the whole thing. Interjections. Show excitement. Or emotion. They're generally set apart from a sentence by an exclamation point or by a comma when the feeling's not as strong. So when you're happy, wait, we need the next slide, pause. Becky got into what she was doing, it was so great. Two slides. You can't do your part if you don't know it. All right, keep going. So when you're happy, or sad, or frightened, or mad, or excited, or glad, an interjection starts a sentence right. We did it! Woo! I think Super Bowl commercials, here we come. Okay, that was a lot. Our suggestion from Professor Lewis, who is a Gen Xer just like me, is to think Schoolhouse Rock and interjections when we read the woes in Luke today. Look up the meaning of woe in Greek, and the first thing it says is, it's an interjection. Those blessings and woes can be startling. Sometimes we assume that woe is the equivalent of cursed, which would boil down to blessed are they and cursed are they, but that's not accurate here. Woe, this interjection, is being used more with the sense of, hey, pay attention. Jesus wants to be heard because it's important. He is setting out a new vision of the world. So Jesus, with these blessings and woes, isn't so much about pitting blessings against curse or favor against judgment. Jesus in Luke is using this interjection to try to get the disciples' attention. He is trying to get our attention. Attention about what? Well, let's look to what's been happening in Luke just before this. Jesus has cleansed a leper, healed a paralytic, he called Levi the tax collector. He healed a man with a withered hand. Before Jesus, those were stuck positions, stuck circumstances, stuck at the bottom, no less. Nobody recognized that list of people as worthy of anything. Jesus has just named apostles from the crowd of his disciples, and these blessings and woes on the plain are his first words to the newly commissioned. And so these woes are functioning more like, whoa, stop right there. Before we go any further, here's what you need to know. And what is to follow is the Sermon in Nazareth, part two, which lies just ahead in Luke, headlined by the terms love and mercy. So when Jesus is talking to the disciples and saying, blessed are the poor and you who are excluded and reviled and defamed, he's showing that the way things have been are not going to be his way. This is not going to be the way moving forward. Whoa, pay attention. The kingdom of God is here. In this world we live in, we are responsible for and to each other. Whoa, Jesus says to his disciples, here's what's important. Whoa, here's what you need to hold on to. Whoa, here's what God is turning upside down now. This word, whoa, it's kind of one of my favorite words, I have to say, and I think it's because you can do a lot with it, with its inflection. On the one hand, it means to stop or slow down, but it's also used to express surprise and interest or alarm. And I've been doing plenty of that lately. How about you? There's plenty in our world that is making me stop and say, whoa, as we continue to learn about what it means to live with COVID rather than being all done with it. Whoa, as we sometimes want to give in to division rather than do the hard work of seeking common ground and community. Whoa, as exhaustion and anxiety cause us to feel isolated, even from those who we love the most. Whoa, as aging and health problems feel overwhelming. Whoa, as international news stirs up fear and uncertainty in places like Ukraine. Whoa, as we mourn the tragic deaths of young black men in our city. The good news is that Jesus' woes, whichever kind, don't leave us in that place. Jesus wants our attention because there is so much more, a world where life is made whole for all. Jesus is announcing this world and he's bringing it into being by inspiring and consoling, giving hope and encouraging, calling out and challenging, comforting, disrupting, reassuring, and empowering. This vision isn't an either or one where some are included and some are left out based on their status. It's a vision for a world in which we all participate, where no one is hungry or mourning or poor or disregarded. You are called to participate. What makes you say, whoa? What is God calling you to pay attention to in your life? We are called to live with generosity and attention toward our neighbors, even as God is attentive and generous to us. There's a video I saw a few years ago that I was thinking about. Maybe you've seen it too. It begins with a businessman going about his usual day, except the day isn't going very well. It seems as each minute passes, the day gets worse and his frustration level rises. So he starts to pull out of the driveway and almost runs over a child on a bike. He gets to his favorite coffee shop, but a woman steals his parking place. Then the man in front of him in line places an order for his entire office building. When he finally gets to the counter, he's told that it will be a few minutes because they have to brew a fresh batch. Sitting in a corner, seething in frustration, a man walks up and hands him a pair of sunglasses and then disappears. Confused, he puts the glasses on, and all of a sudden, little bubbles, like in the Sunday comics, appear above everyone's head, and in those bubbles, he can read what is really going on in everyone's life. The woman who cut him off is distracted because her child is sick. The man who placed the huge coffee order is worried about a medical diagnosis he just received. The barista is struggling with addiction. And finally, returning home a bit shaken, he sees the child again with a bubble above his head, which says, "Just need someone who cares." The man gets out of his car and walks over to help the boy fix his bike. How would we treat each other if we could really see what was going on in everyone's bubble? It would probably make us stop and say, "Whoa." And then maybe the walls would disappear and the distance we place between ourselves and others would melt away. Jesus' blessings and woes are meant to do something like that. They're meant to get our attention and help us see others in different places than our own, and then we are called to cross those divides. It's what God did, after all. God, who is not content to look down upon us from some safe place far away, God who sent Jesus, who gets down, right down on the same plane with us in our hurting world, in our pain, in our division, and starts mixing things up, turning things upside down, bringing life and possibility and newness where there was none before. That's what the gospel is about. So when you are happy or sad or frightened or mad or excited or glad, a gospel woe, a holy woe, starts the sentence right. Thanks be to God. Amen.